The Random Jottings of Hinge and Brackett with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett. With Jean Haywood as Maud and friends and neighbors at Stacton Trestle in Brought to Book.
Isn't it amazing how one's day can be affected by what comes through one's letterbox first thing? And we certainly get some funny things through ours. I don't mind telling you. Well, Evadne does. Catalogues for wasp poison and Venus flytraps. Regular communications from the tree surgeons of Cricklewood. And once I remember a calendar from the British Rawhide Belting Company. My mail is much more fun. It usually consists of fan letters, invitations, requests for autographs, or even for something personal to auction for charity. Well, these days, I always send them a pair of gloves I wore as Princess Marie in The King of Cadonia, because I can still buy them by the gross locally. But occasionally, one does receive a communication that really makes a mess of one's day, and this happened just recently. Evadne, have you ever seen me reading a book called The Girl with the Naughty Wink?
I've seen you reading all sorts of rubbish.
Why do you always assume that what I am reading is rubbish?
Because if you're reading it, it must be.
Very well. Have you ever seen me reading a load of rubbish called The Girl with the Naughty Wink?
No, I can't say I remember that title particularly. No.
No, nor do I.
Now, why the concern? I mean, has The Girl with the Naughty Wink become required reading in your circle?
No, it's just that I've had a card from the library. They say it's overdue, but I don't remember ever having had it. Mind, I've read an awful lot of her things.
Whose things?
Monica Masters. Have you ever read any of hers?
No, never.
Cleansing Fires, for example. Have you ever read that?
No. What's it about?
Blackleading grates. It's about the character-building properties of pain, actually. It draws an analogy between the manner in which gold is purified by being cast into the furnace and the way in which people are made more pure by suffering. For gold must be tried by fire, and the heart must be tried by pain.
Oh, I see. Boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy finds girl again.
Are you sure you haven't read it?
I'm quite sure.
Because if it do you good to read something like that for a change, it might humanize you a little. I'm sure it's not healthy, you know, to be forever reading about dry stone walling and the life cycle of the earthworm. Your interests need widening, you know.
To include Monica Masters?
Well, you could do a lot worse. Her books are always very accurate historically.
Well, how would you know?
You can tell by the pictures on the covers. And the costumes are always right down to the very last detail. I do wish I could find the girl with a naughty wink. It sounds so good, doesn't it?
Certainly sounds right up your street.
See, I seem to remember having seen that book. I remember the picture on the cover.
And was this one historically accurate?
Why, sure it was. They all are. Haven't by any chance got in among your library books, has it?
Heaven forbid. Anyway, I haven't got any out at the moment.
Oh, no, of course you haven't. So, I must have the girl with a naughty wink then.
Unless you left it on a bus.
I haven't been on a bus, my dear. Not for ages.
What about the car?
Oh, I've been in there.
No, I mean, your book might be in the car.
Oh, no, definitely not. The garage valeted it for me the other day when they did the service.
Well, have you looked in your bedroom?
Of course I have. I'm not silly.
Then how about down the side of your armchair? That's where your books usually end up. You stuff them down there when someone calls. One calls because you're ashamed to be caught reading them.
Yes, that's an idea. But the reason I stuff them down here, as you so elegantly put it, is so that people don't think they're disturbing me. It's called politeness, dear.
It's called being caught on the hop.
Haven't you already? Anyhow, there's nothing down here. Well, just the usual sweet papers and hairpins. Oh, and look. A sixpence.
Mm. Just shows you how thoroughly Maud cleans.
You should have a look down the side of your chair, dear. You might find a groat. Perhaps That book's got down behind something or under something. Get down on your hands and knees, Evadne, and have a look around there.
It's your book. What's wrong with your hands and knees?
My dear, I am wearing silk stockings. You're hardly likely to ladder those Lyle things of yours. They're made for scrubbing floors in.
Well, I only wear them because I spend so much time down on my hands and knees looking for things you've lost.
Then what are you arguing about? If you're dressed for it, get down and look.
Very well.
And just hope that Maud doesn't come in while you're down there. She'll think you're playing bears.
Maud wouldn't know whether I was down here or not. She's quite obviously never even glanced at the floor. She's looking all this fluff down here. Oh, what's this?
Have you found the girl with the naughty wink?
No. I think I found Woodworm.
Oh, now, isn't that just typical of you?
Well, I mean, look at these little heaps of light-colored dust down here around the leg of this tall boy.
Oh, not my beautiful tall boy. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's Woodworm, all right. This leg's riddled with it.
But I only bought it a few months ago.
Well, it doesn't take Woodworm long to eat its way through this sort of rubbish. Didn't I say it was too cheap?
Evadne, the man gave me a special discount because he liked my eyes.
Yes, I bet he likes them. Hmm? Anyone else would have seen the woodworm.
That tall boy did not have woodworm when I bought it. I particularly asked him. Anyway, I think he said mahogany was immune.
Hmm. That man would obviously have said anything. What's more, I don't think it is mahogany.
What do you know about antique furniture? All you own is a camp stool, an iron bedstead, and a horsehair sofa that was given to you when they closed the workhouse in the parlor. But all that on one side, what are we going to do about that woodworm? I say, has that table leg got it in as well?
Where?
There. What's that?
No, I don't think so. No, those are just marks.
Oh, you see, once you found it in one place, you begin to see it everywhere, don't you? Ah, that'll be Maud.
It's all very well for you, Gudrun, but I have to live in this village. And that's another shop. I'll be embarrassed to go in again.
What are you babbling about?
Horseplay. With shopkeepers.
I only gave him a little pat on his cheek.
Well, it weren't necessary. Not just for putting two pot pies and a saveloy on the slate.
Oh, heaven, she must have that sister of hers staying with her again.
Well, you know what they say, Hilda? Disasters always come in threes.
In threes, dear?
Yes, those two and Woodworm.
Good morning, Dame Hilder. Doctor. Look who I've brought to see you.
Good morning, Dame Hilder. Doctor.
Oh, hello, Gudrun. Good morning, Maud.
Good morning.
Did you hear me getting told off, Dame Hilder? I don't have to be long with our Maud before she starts telling me off.
I'm not surprised the way you carry on. Horsing about with all and sundry. Might be all right in a transport cafe in Bodmin, but round here, we likes a bit more decorum, don't we, Dame Mildred?
Well, we certainly try to be decorous, dear.
But alas, we so seldom succeed.
You speak for yourself, Evadne. Anyway, Gudrun, how are things at your aunt's cafe these days, dear?
Oh, lively as ever, Dame Mildred. Them lorry drivers like their bit of fun.
They'll not be lacking for encouragement with you there, I'll be bound.
Well, if you've been cooped up driving all day, you need to blow off some steam when you've stopped. Mm.
From what I hear, it's not the drivers that blows off the most steam, it's you.
I enjoyed myself, I admit. It's better than being an old stick in the mud like you. Happy to do your okey-cokey every week down at the village, or...
She makes Bodmin sound like a frontier town.
Well, it is, dear. It's in Cornwall. By the way, Gudrun, how long are you going to be staying this time, then?
Oh, just a few days, Dame Hilder. Just till Friday.
If she ain't sent packing afore. Do you know, I'd no idea she were coming, Dame Hilder.
Oh, I'd no idea I were coming neither. Not until I was on my way.
Ah, so it was a surprise for both of you then, was it? It's nice when people just arrive, isn't it, Evadne?
No, I hate it.
You hate it even if they let you know they're coming.
Yes. Now, why drag me into this cozy little conversation?
It were Lanky Harry run me up, Dame Hilder. He were coming this way, so he offered me a lift. I jumped at it.
That's always been your trouble. You jumped too easily at things. The first I knowed were when I hears this huge juggernaut trailer thing. pulling up at our front door. Oh. It was tea time, and I just got my Arthur's chop in the pan. Oh. Well, I goes to the window, and I sees her clambering out the cab, shouting and giggling and carrying on. I says to my Arthur, "Oh, God, it's our Gudrun. Just there to arrive at tea time when we've only got two pork chops."
Well, that's one thing about family, isn't it, dear? You don't have to pretend.
You don't have to be so damn rude, neither. I didn't come empty-handed, did I? Hmm. That bacon joint I gave you must have weighed 10 pounds. It were bacon as Lanky Harry were carrying, Dame Milder. He's got a heart of gold, that man. Well, and not many as give you a bacon joint and give you a lift up from Bodmin, just because you does his eggs over easy for him.
Does his eggs over easy, dear? What does that mean? Or shouldn't I ask?
Oh, it's American, Dame Milder. I don't know where Lanky picked it up, but that's how he likes them done. Flipped over and fried on both sides.
Mm. Isn't it fascinating to hear an expert explain the finer points of haute cuisine?
Well, I suppose I'd best be getting down to work.
Perhaps, Hilda, we should let Maud take a day or two off, as she has her sister with her.
What, dear?
As she has her sister with her.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, that's probably a good idea. What do you say to a day or two off, Maud? You could show Gudrun the sights.
What sights? Staten ain't got no sights.
I saw everything worth seeing round here when I was a girl.
Yes, I bet you did, then.
I didn't come here to enjoy myself. I only came to see you, Maudie.
Well, if it's all the same to you, Dame Milder, I prefers to stay.
Well, thank you, Maud. It's very kind of you, dear. Isn't it, Evadne?
Yes, isn't it, Hilda?
Incidentally, if either of you come across a library book with a theatrical-looking cover, it's mine.
Oh, and if you come across some woodworm, that's Dame Hilda's as well. She brought that in her tall boy.
Woodworm? Have you got woodworm, Dame Milder?
Oh, no, I haven't, dear. But my tall boy has. Just in the one leg. And really, there are a few of them. Evadne, what did you have to mention that for? It sounds so sordid.
Well, it's just as well that everyone's alerted, Hilda, and on the lookout. That worm's not going to go away, you know, just because you choose to ignore it.
Trust you to be sensitive nature of the woodworm.
We used to have terrible woodworm at home, didn't we, Martha?
Terrible. It were in everything. Every stick of furniture was permanently stood with its legs in old tobacco tins full of paraffin.
Paraffin was Dad's cure for everything.
Wasn't it an awful fire hazard, dear? You know, having tobacco tins full of paraffin lying about all over the floor.
Oh, well, so it turned out, Dame Milder. And that were Dad's fault, being careless.
Mind, we never had no woodworm after the fire.
That's what you should do with your tall boy, Hilda. Burn it. Take it out and burn it before those things get a real hold in this room.
Oh, should me and Moody carry it out for you now, Dame Milder? I love bonfires.
No, dear. Some of the most exquisite and rare pieces of furniture in the world have had woodworm in them, you know. I dare say they've had their fair share of woodworm, even at Buckingham Palace. But I doubt very much whether Her Majesty immediately rushed the stricken pieces out for bonfire. And quite honestly, I don't see her standing her legs in little tobacco tins full of paraffin. Not with all those corkies about.
Well, I'm sure there is a very simple solution. Who's that, I wonder?
I'll go. No, you won't. I answers the door in this house. Mm. The sort of people who call on Dame Hilda don't expect a lot of horseplay. Mm. You can go straight to the kitchen and give that floor a scrub. Mm. Perhaps that'll sober you up a bit. Coming down to breakfast in your dressing gown. My Arthur's not used to that sort of thing.
Well, it will be by Friday. He deserves a bit of a treat.
I wonder if whoever knocked is still waiting on the steps.
All right, Doctor, I'm going. Come along, you.
Come on. We'll see you both later.
What a dreadful family.
Oh, they're not so bad.
Not so bad. They're awful, Hilda. Quite awful.
They've both got hearts of gold, you know.
Oh, that phrase does irritate me. People only use it when they can't think of a single redeeming point about someone.
I don't think that's necessarily true, Evadne. I'm always telling people you've got a heart of gold.
Oh, hello, Mousy. Didn't expect to see me here, did you? Gonna take me ferreting in the woods later on, are you?
If you must know, Mr. Butler's come to see the doctor, so button your lip and up it.
Well, that settles it, Hilda. Until Friday, we shall just have to make sure that one of us always answers the door. Those two amount to intimidation.
Now, calm down, Evadne. You don't want Mousy Butler to catch you looking grumpy, do you?
Come in, Mr. Butler.
Ah, thank you, Dame Hilda, and a very good morning to you both.
And to you too, dear. Sit yourself down.
I must apologize for the raucous reception committee, Mr. Butler.
No, no need, Doctor, I do assure you. No need at all. Though I will admit that it came as a bit of a surprise. I didn't know the other one was back.
Well, we've only just found out ourselves.
She never changes, does she?
No, never.
They were always a loud family, never kept neighbors for very long. When I was a child, we lived five doors down from them. Oh, just for a very short while. It was making Mother quite violent. But as the years pass by, one tends to forget, mercifully. Well, I'll not detain you, but you may remember, Doctor, that a day or two ago, you were admiring my fat hen.
Oh, I do indeed, Mr. Butler. And I would have taken you up on your very kind offer had I not been on my way to a council meeting.
Which is why I brought it round, Doctor. It's beautifully fresh.
Oh, Mr. Butler, if you have what I think you have in that carrier bag of yours, might I ask you not to get it out in front of me? I can't bear the sight of dead birds, especially if they're still wearing feathers.
Oh, goodness me, Dame Hilda, it's not a bird. It's a plant. Look. Chenopodium album. Fat hen. Variously known as dirtweed, muckhill weed, and dirty dick.
It's supposed to be extremely good to eat, Hilda. Mm.
Then you'd think they'd have called it something a little more appetizing.
In the Midlands, they call it wild spinach.
Good for them, such sensible people.
Alas, fat hen is now generally looked upon as a common weed. Yet it is rich in vitamins B1 and B2, in iron, in protein, and in calcium. Richer by far than raw cabbage or even spinach. It was very widely cultivated and eaten in Neolithic times, you know.
Oh, so that's when Evadne got a taste for it.
I'll leave it down by the side of this chair for you, Doctor. Oh, I say, did you know you had woodworm in this arm?
Oh, no. At this rate, we'll be eaten alive in our day.
Well, I am sorry, Dame Hilda. I didn't mean to alarm you. It's only a very tiny bit.
The trouble is, Mr. Butler, that our tiny bits are beginning to mount up. We've also got the tall boy there.
What a shame. Still, it's not impossible to cure. But if I might make a suggestion, I would have all your furniture treated. You have so many beautiful pieces.
What exactly might that involve, Mr. Butler?
Oh, nothing very much. I could do it myself for you. I'm well practiced. I could fumigate.
Oh, I don't think I like the sound of that.
Alternatively, I could spray, brush, or inject your furniture using one of the proprietary insecticidal fluids. Ah, but then you have cats, don't you?
Yes, dear, and what could they do?
No. You see... No. You see, one has to be very careful. So many preparations are harmful to domestic animals, especially cats. They'd have to be kept out of the treated room for at least 48 days.
48 hours, surely, Mr. Butler.
Alas, no, Doctor. The most recent advice from the British Veterinary Association is 48 days.
But that's 7 weeks. I couldn't possibly keep the cats out of here for 7 weeks. I can hardly keep them out for 7 minutes. Woodworm or no woodworm, Mr. Butler. These are their favourite armchairs.
Well, there is another alternative, Dame Hilda.
I've already told her to have a bonfire.
No. There is an old country method which many people swear by. One simply cuts small blocks of alder wood, drills tiny holes in them, and dots them about the infected room. The furniture beetle will then lay its eggs in the alder blocks rather than in one's furniture. It seems they are particularly partial to alderwood. Well, I suppose we all have our little peculiarities.
Yes, that would appear to be the best method, Mr. Butler, even for the woodworm.
I shall go and prepare some blocks for you at once. I will then take the already infected pieces to my workshop for treatment, returning them with a clean bill of health. And should any more come to light, just let me know.
You're very kind, Mr. Butler. Yvette, my dear, show you Mr. Butler to the door, would you?
No, Dame Hilda. Might I be permitted to slip out of the garden window instead? One doesn't want to appear antisocial, but I would very much like to avoid a further encounter with the Bullet Sisters. They always give me such a headache.
Mr. Butler, believe me, if that's all they give you, you're lucky.
Thank you so much. Goodbye for now, then.
Goodbye, Mr. Butler. And thank you.
Bye-bye, dear. I see, Daphne, look there. On the window ledge behind the curtain. My library book.
Well, so it is, Hilda.
Well, how on earth did it get there, I wonder?
Well, it's my bet that you stuck it there the day the vicar called. You were standing at the window, and you certainly not have wanted him to see the sort of rubbish you were reading.
Well, I must say, this is turning into rather a nice day after all. I found my book, and the woodworm's going to be dealt with. Do you know what, Evadne? I think I feel like singing, dear.
I thought you might.
Something happy, dear, and I know just the thing. It's over here somewhere now. Where are we? Yes. Now, you sit yourself at the piano while I look. Ah, yes, it is. Here we are. Looking on the bright side. Sounds the right sort of thing. I'm looking on the bright side. Oh, I'm walking in the shade, picking up my chest, all before the best. Looking on the bright side of life. I'm waiting for the white tide, and if luck comes to my head, giving me a break, I shall be awake, looking on the bright side of life. Today I need the shadow, tomorrow maybe. The clouds will lift, and if the sun she's over to me. I'm looking on the bright side, for today's all care and strife. Keeping up my chin, looking on the bright side of life. I've just borrowed from tomorrow some comfort for today. When tomorrow comes, care and sorrow may vanish away. Sometimes gray days make us weary, and nothing seems worthwhile. I'm looking on the bright side. Though I'm walking in the shade, picking up my chest, hoping for the best. Looking on the bright side of life. I'm waiting for the right time. And if luck comes to my head, giving me a break, I shall be awake. Looking on the bright side of light. Today I'm in the shadow, tomorrow maybe. The clouds will lift, and if the sun shines over to me. I'm looking on the bright side, for today's all care and strife. I can wear a grin, keeping up my chin, looking on the bright side of light. Nice. Now, I don't know what your plans are for the rest of the day, dear. I suppose you'll be wanting to muck about with that fat hen of yours. But I am going to my room. I'm going to lie on the bed, and I'm going to read The Girl with the Naughty Wink. I must say it looks lovely. And just listen to this end. There was to be no more trouble, no more pain. The winter was almost over, and spring lay ahead. Queenie May was at last accepted as the new Countess of Mildenbury.
Oh, God.
And her dear Rupert was already on the mend. She tossed the last of the wretched Alderwood onto the bonfire and watched as the sparks flew skywards, carrying with them the last vestiges of the ill luck that had so dogged that house since the fateful day when the alder had been... Daphne! It's unlucky to have Alderwood in the house.
Well, it's even more unlucky to have woodworm. Anyway, you can't surely believe every word you read in those trashy novels of
They're
yours.
Not trashy at that, Nick. It's Monica Masters. Monica Masters. And her research is always impeccable. We shall have to phone Mousy and tell him to use one of the other methods.
Well, I know which one I'd come for.
Which, dear?
Fumigation.
Why fumigation, dear?
Well, economy, dear. We can have Maud and Gudrun done at the same time.